This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, Scott Servais is going to join us in a moment or two. It is Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com. He's had a weird week, man. Scott is, he's had quite the week, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and had a chance to get away and enjoy, you know, a little bit of family time and see his daughter, you know, finish graduate school, which was, I'm sure, awesome. And then to come back and deal with weather delays, and then to come back and deal with the Cano injury, and then to come back and deal with the Cano news of the suspension, which I think we can verify.
It just keeps getting worse, right?
You didn't get that news. They didn't get that in the spring.
They
couldn't put a plan together.
They didn't, and it's funny. I was talking to some people outside the organization. So I asked some other people in baseball, and one of the things I heard was, man, I'm really surprised Robbie didn't say anything. That they didn't know about, like, and no one was saying they did know and haven't told anybody. By all accounts, the Mariners had no idea. Robbie kept it totally to himself, didn't tell the team, didn't tell his player, you know, didn't tell his teammates, didn't tell anybody in the organization. That was something that drew some surprise around baseball. Like, yeah, I'm really a little surprised he didn't let them know so they could plan for it and all that. But I think he thought he was going to win the appeal. Don't you?
Possibly, or he was just so embarrassed.
Maybe.
You know, after 15 years, you're not a 5-year or 10-year guy. You're 15 years into this, man.
True.
You're one of the real leaders. You know, I've certainly got a ton of that response on Twitter. I don't know about you, but, you know, the disappointment. You know, a lot of people thought my poll was, you know, really skewed because didn't have disappointment, which I think would have been the overwhelming feeling for most.
Let's bring Scott Servais into the conversation. He's kind enough to take a few minutes this morning with us on the Venue Kings hotline. Scott, good morning. I hope you finally got a little sleep last night.
Yeah, recoup a little bit after a crazy couple of days. But how are you guys doing this morning?
We're good. Brock wants to do the entire interview like we're baseball reporters, and just instead of asking you questions, just throw out a couple of words for each one. Just like, hey, Christian Bergman, seventh inning.
Brock would have a hard time doing anything like a baseball reporter.
Oh really? You want to challenge me? Okay, I challenge you.
Ah, huh? Shots fired right off the bat.
Hey, Scott, last night. Sleep good?
What was the last week like?
The last week was very interesting. You know, with the travel, we had no hitter mixed in there. Doubleheaders, rain delays, and then the Cano news here when we got back home. So it's been a challenging week, but we're okay. I think everybody, good night's sleep last night. Get after the Tigers here in the weekend series is what we're looking forward to.
Further review. Your hat spike.
No, no answer. You made him quiet. Look what you did. You ruined our good relationship with Scott Servais.
No, I just wondered. You went back, watched tape, further review, your hat spike.
No, I did not go watch the tape, Rock. But I know you guys have discussed it a lot, along with Kyle in studio. I did get the report. I haven't heard much from Howdy chiming in on that, but, you know, Howdy likes to do it in the background.
I think you did great, Skip. I loved it.
We just want some conviction with that, Scott. We want some conviction.
I didn't throw the hat down hard enough.
We got a text. Now, this is not coming from me. This is one of our texters here, so I don't want to embarrass you, but this guy says,
could you
ask Scott why he threw his hat down like he cared so much about it?
It was a point in the game. I specifically, along with everybody else on our bench, really wanted to get the last couple outs. It had been a long day. The ninth inning didn't play out exactly like we were hoping it would. And for them to score the tying run the way they did, and, you know, my conversation with the umpire, Jeff Nelson, didn't go that well. I just said, screw it, threw the hat down, and I was ejected.
Good for you.
Those things happen in baseball once in a while.
And they should, by the way. I think everybody could feel for you in that moment, and I think everybody kind of tries to put themselves in that clubhouse, whether it's as a player for that team or the manager of that team, to find out that one of the guys you were counting on, I mean, one of the true leaders and best players on this team, is not going to be around for 80 games, and not just because of the injury, but because of his own actions. I think that hurts a lot of people when they try to put themselves in your position. How do you feel about it?
Well, everybody in that clubhouse has big aspirations and goals for what we set out to accomplish this year, and understanding they're going to have to deal with some adversity along the way, and injuries are part of that. You know, so, you know, this is another piece of adversity that we'll have to overcome. But you know, the goals are set very high. I think everybody understands that, you know, we want to get into the playoffs desperately, and under, you know, you need to have a few breaks go your way along the way. But, you know, when things like that happen, it's a little bit of a gut punch. But, you know, we've absorbed a few of those in the past. We will this one. I think we have a very talented team. We're going to have to get everybody to continue just to do their job. Don't ask guys to do more than they're capable of. And I think we certainly have the talent to do that. And there's no doubt we have the character in our clubhouse to do that. So it doesn't make it any easier. But, you know, going forward, that's where our mindset is at. And, you know, we got to get the offense back rolling again tonight.
Skipper with us, Scott Service, Mariners manager. I think you've taught us through the years, or I tried to learn, Scott, how much you guys are always a step or two ahead. That if the game, you're just in it in the moment, it's going to speed up on you. So you're constantly thinking ahead. The news that this, you guys got, what, Sunday or Monday, that you didn't have it way back when, do you feel like you're just reacting or in, you know, to that news? Or in any way, can you kind of get ahead of it in your plan and preparation?
No, there's no preparation for something like that. We obviously didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it until Monday morning. Early Monday morning. But, you know, in this situation, thankful for us, our lineup, our roster is deep enough, I believe, to absorb it. We will get Robinson Cano back at some point. And at that, you know, period in our season, we need to be in a good spot and keep moving forward. So, again, we can talk about all the stuff in the past. It really is not going to affect anything going forward in our mindset, and that's really what I have to get our guys in a good mindset and ready to go out and play this weekend.
And, of course, the name that immediately becomes a part of this story is that of Dee Gordon, but just because of his experience at second base, and we got to see him taking some ground balls there before the last couple of games. What is it going to look like when you finally put him there and pencil him in at second?
I don't have any doubt it's going to be very dynamic. D is just such a talented guy, really good athlete, and very confident and familiar with second base, obviously. So he's going to get probably a little bit more thorough workout today before the game in pregame. Probably needs to get some balls off, live balls off the bat in batting practice and see where we're at after that. So most likely you will see him at second base at some point in this series this weekend, and I have no doubt he'll do a great job for us over there.
Does he have any range at second?
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. He did tell me in my office the other day, Skip, I really don't need to shift. I catch them all. So that's D Gordon in a nutshell.
And then obviously with that move, create some other moves in the outfield situation. And do you have a plan and a course of action of what that looks like if D becomes your everyday second baseman, then what happens in the outfield?
Yeah, I mean, Guillermo Heredia is very accomplished, really good defender in center field. So, you know, he'll get the majority of time in center field. You know, Mitch Haniger can run over and play center field if Guillermo needs a day. You know, our roster, I think, will continue to change and evolve a little bit as we go along. But it's nice to see Ben Gamel really starting to swing the bat here the last two or three days. He squared up some balls in Minnesota the other night. I feel like swung the bat very well yesterday in the game, which is a good sign. And, you know, Ben is as much things went his way early when he joined us last year, he had a little luck on his – it seemed like every ball he hit was a hit. This year he's probably been our – he has been our most unlucky hitter as far as a ball in play, batting average, and that is about to turn around. So, you know, we get Ben going, we get Heredia in the outfield, D will be at second base, and, you know, we'll continue to use all the pieces.
I found myself thinking about Heredia after the big hit the other night to win the game, and just the look on his face as he was rounding first base was priceless. And I don't know, I remember all the conversations and everything you said about Leonis Martin when he was here and the energy and personality that he brought to the clubhouse. How much of that similar personality can Heredia bring? How does it play with D. Gordon and Ryan Healy and some of the other energy guys in that room?
There's no doubt the value that those players that have that really bring to the ball club. And Heredia is one of those guys. Heredia is not as outspoken and loud as Leonis Martin was, but really, everybody within our clubhouse really enjoys being around this guy. He's always got a smile on his face. How much English he has picked up over the last year has really been remarkable. He's a smart guy, and the more he gets grasp of the English language, more of that comes out. So teammates really enjoy him. He plays hard every day. He does the right things on the baseball field. And those guys, when they have talent on top of it, usually help being to help you being real contributors to a winning club, and that's how we see Heredia.
So the one question, I guess, and I know it's way in the future, but you can't help but think about it now. Once you make the decision to let D play second base, will he keep working in the outfield before games? Because at some point, in theory, Cano's going to come back here in mid-August. He's going to, I assume, be back at second base. Maybe I'm wrong. And then what? He's got to go back to center field at that point?
Yeah, D has been very open to this. I think he's getting more and more comfortable in center field. I think he's played great there the last, you know, probably week or so. Just his jumps have been better and just more looks more relaxed out there. In talking to him about moving into second base, he's offered, you know, Skip, if you need to get some guys a day at second, I have no problem moving back to center. This is even before, you know, Robinson Cano gets back into our mix. So D is more than willing to go back and forth. I think he's very confident and getting more comfortable at both spots here. So it could be a real weapon for us as we try to move guys around and keep guys fresh and healthy throughout the course of the season.
Well, would you consider a platoon-type situation where on days where Heredia needed, you know, if you didn't like Heredia against a righty, you could move D into center field and do something like that?
I would never do it in a platoon, Mike, but if there is a particular day, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Heredia fouls a ball off his toe or something and he's down for a couple days and you know, it's something we talked to D about. D has already told me that he's willing to fill in and do whatever the ball club needs. So about as far as a platoon, I'm not going to platoon out there. We'll keep D at second base the majority of the time.
Hey, Scott, this will be my last question going backwards. I promise everything else will be moving forward after this. But I'd be remiss not to ask, did you talk to Robbie, actually get a chance to talk to him on the phone or otherwise?
Yes, I did. Robbie called me probably about 30 minutes to an hour before the story kind of hit the national wire. So I talked to Robbie for about 10 minutes, very apologetic, very sorry for the position he put, you know, our ball club in. On top of that, also felt very badly that, you know, he went ahead and had the surgery done on his hand yesterday, and not being in Seattle when all this went down really, really bothered him. I know we tried to see if MLB could have postponed the announcement a little bit, but that was not going to happen, and he felt really bad he wasn't here. So I did get a chance to talk to him. Certainly felt that uneasiness in his voice and how much it is affecting him as well. So, you know, again, that's the last one, Brock, and we'll move forward, okay?
Yeah, I got you. Now, I've told you before, I've quoted Mike Holmgren with you, and he used to always say to us, he'd come into our QB meeting room and say, listen, I got to trust you. Okay, the biggest word is trust. When I make a play call, I've got to trust that you're going to do this. And then if you screw it up and we come over on the sideline, I don't want excuses. I want to have a relationship built on trust so we can be honest and have a back and forth. It strikes me, Scott, that if any position out there, I mean, every one of them, you need to trust your guys. But out of the bullpen, it feels like that is, man, one of the greatest attributes that can be built is that reliever feels that role, man, and I really trust that opportunity. Is that a fair way to look at it from a bullpen, that there is still very much an evaluation of you trying to trust guys in certain roles and spots?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair. What we're trying to do is get guys, you want all your guys throwing well down there, but the reality of it is there's always going to be one or two guys that maybe, you know, the command is off, the stuff isn't right there, it's a mechanical thing, so you know, just trying to get guys in spots where they can, you know, go out and produce and have success. So, you know, our bullpen, where it's at, I still like our bullpen a lot. I really do. Eddie Diaz has had a great season. You know, there's been a couple outings here or there. I think we saw Nicasio was really lights out for us through pretty much the month of April as far as holding leads and getting the ball to Eddie. You know, Juan has struggled a little bit of late. So, you know, Pazos has stepped up. Nick Vincent's on a pretty good run. We've got guys. Zepchinski showed some signs yesterday of coming back into the mix and throwing the ball well again. So, you know, it's constant kind of juggling the pieces a little bit as far as trying to put guys in spots where they can get it going again. But we're going to need those guys. I think that's the one thing that, you know, I mentioned earlier, even early in the season when Zanino and Cruz and Gamble and these guys were out, we were winning ball games. Because when we had leads, our bullpen was holding them down. That's going to be the key for us, in my opinion. We're going to score runs. I think our defense is plenty good enough to help our pitching out. But, you know, our starting pitching, you know, getting six innings out of those guys and turning it over to the bullpen will be our recipe for success. And the guys in the bullpen going out and doing their job, they're not going to be perfect. And I think that's what everybody needs to understand, that, you know, the guys on the other team, they get paid a lot to hit. And but just trying to be consistent, executing pitches, staying with the game plan, and I think we'll be just fine. We have enough talent down there.
You know, in this version of baseball these days, everybody's throwing 95, 97. We see plenty of players throwing 100 miles an hour. And I'm at the game yesterday, and I watched Christian Bergman and Bartolo Colon, who combined were barely throwing 100 miles an hour. And yet they were both dominant yesterday. What was that game like for you to watch?
I think it just shows you that it's the beauty of baseball. You know, they come in all different shapes and sizes. They do it differently. And it's about, you know, movement on the fastball, locating the fastball. Sure, everybody would love to have, you know, be throwing 95 to 100, but there's different ways to get it done. I thought Bergie did a great job for us yesterday. Got way more out of him than we even dreamed we would, and, you know, got us in a position, you know, we could win the ball game yesterday. It's great to have those guys that are down in Tacoma that can step up as your sixth, seventh, or eighth starting pitcher, and for a few days or a few outings, you don't lose a beat. Now, you know, we need to get more consistent in our starting rotation. I think we have guys that are capable of doing that. But if it doesn't get more consistent, we have guys that we can call on.
How hard is it as a manager? One thing I'd always think would be challenging is having to give people bad news that's not their fault. So whether it's sending Bergman back out after a game like that, I don't know if you guys have decided whether he's heading back or not, but if he were to be, you know, telling him, hey, great job, thanks for throwing seven shutout innings, we got to send you back to Tacoma, or the
Goodell
day before with Goodell, who was pretty good, and I know you liked him, and I heard you talking about it yesterday, but unfortunately he's got to be DFA'd just because of the way the roster works. How challenging are those conversations compared to the ones where a guy knows he's going to be gone because he just hasn't played well?
It's very challenging. I mean, as those guys, you know, people in your organization, especially our AAA team, you know, we've got some veteran players there that have been around and they've got significant major league, you know, service time. And when they come up, they get the shot to get back in the big leagues and then they actually contribute to a winning club. It's really hard to send that message and send them down. I think the one thing over the years and being on the minor league side like I was and overseeing that a long time, it's really important that when guys go back down, that they keep the right attitude. And that's really, you know, needs to be, you know, kind of contagious in AAA, that all those guys in Tacoma feel that they're going to be a part of what we're doing here and getting to the playoffs. And they all will play a part in one way or another. It's crazy. You guys saw last year how many people we used to stay in the hunt for a playoff spot. And keeping the attitude right, but it doesn't make sending the message any easier. It's difficult. The one thing that I've always tried to do, it'd be tougher than the swallow, but at the end of the day, I think they respect that. And that's what I've always tried to do.
You know you can't say that on the radio, right?
I'm sorry, guys.
that's just not...
How do you bleep that out?
Yeah, we're on that.
We're good.
Yeah,
we got you covered.
You just can't say that on the radio. It's not how this works. I appreciate the candor. Jeez.
Well, my last question then for you.
Where was that kind of fire when you were throwing the hat down the other day? Jeez.
Talkie, Mike, you did not hear what I was saying to the umpire. You're doing the hat thing way out. I had to go get a new hat. The hat was permanently stained. They threw it into the wet dirt.
Oh.
I mean, come on.
You know, you don't have to get that yourself, by the way. I think one of the clubbies will get it for you.
Yeah, they did. The bad boys let me know, hey, Skip, you don't need to pick up your hat. We'll grab that for next time. I said, guys, thanks. I appreciate it.
Hey, last thing. What does Nelly's foot look like after taking, you know, that shot? Is he going to be all right in the coming days? Do we have any timetable for that?
Crazy as it sounds, after the game yesterday, I'm in my office, and the first guy to walk in is Nelson Cruz, walk in normally with regular shoes on, and said, I typically put out the lineup pretty early in the morning. I let our guys know who's playing by 10:30, 11 in the morning, and he said, don't put the lineup out early tomorrow. He wants to do everything he can to see if he can get in there and play tonight.
Wow.
So we'll see. We'll know more when we get in the ballpark today. But that's kind of how Nelson Cruz is wired. He wants in there. And if he can go in there at 50, 60%, that's what he's going to try to do. But we got lucky. We really did. When he was leaning on me walking off the field the other day, I was just like, wow, this is not going to end well. This is not going to be good at all because he couldn't put any weight on it. But you know, nothing's broke. At an MRI yesterday, it's all clean there. It's just a matter of getting the swelling out and how much pain can he tolerate.
He really is impressive, man. He looked really broken up the other day in the clubhouse when all the news came out about Robbie. And maybe he had heard it earlier in the day or the day before. I don't know. But was Nelson kind of more bummed out than some of the – it just seemed that way.
I thought, you know, all the guys took it hard, but – certainly Nelson, Gene Segura, the guys that are lockered right next to Robbie. Certainly, you know, it hit them very hard. As much time as they spend together, anytime you get news like that, that, you know, teammate, good friend's not going to be around, and what it does to Robbie, it certainly hurts. But, again, we're going to move forward. We're not going back.
All right. Well, we are going to move forward, too. I've actually gotten the word in my ear that we're not allowed to keep you anymore. No one, they don't trust you to be clean on the radio anymore.
Remember that whole trust thing?
Clean it up, Howdy.
It's not. I'm getting word from above. We've got to let you go. So, Scott, thank you, as always. We appreciate it. Good luck with everything here, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for
having me. There you go. There is the very honest Scott Service taking a few minutes with us there in the Venue Kings Hotline. That's a first in this show, don't you think?
Oh, easy that came, too.
Yeah, he didn't even notice.
Oh, he didn't even stop. He didn't skip a beat.
Scott, you can't say, oh.
I'm glad you
Albert
know.
Breer, at least, like, he go, oh, lad, like, he knew. Like, oh, man.
Kyle and I looked at each other, like, where's the dump button? It's somewhere around here. Hit it.
Pounded that dump button 5 times. But everyone on the stream still got to hear it.
Well, I hope they were happy. Well, you hear in there, I think one little minor takeaway that I'll bring out of that is that A, Robinson Cano had surgery, and B, and I think this is really appropriate, that Robbie, and I think this makes sense knowing him, is upset that he's not here to face the music.
Yep.
That I think he wants to be here to face it, because that's something I've wondered. Like, where is he? Like, come on, man, we want to hear from you. You're the one who did this. Don't just release a statement. And it does make sense. He had surgery. Those two, it's by all accounts the weirdest confluence of events ever. And I know Larry Stone had his report, I talked to Larry about it yesterday. I have every reason to believe him. Larry's a really good reporter with a well-placed source saying these two events were not in any way related.
Right.
That he did not drop the appeal, that he was already dropping the appeal, and as the paperwork was going through and everything was getting ready, that's when he ended up hurting his hand.
Hmm.
The coincidence is shocking.
Yeah.
If that's the case, but I guess, you know, they do happen. I another part of that is that he's not here to face the music and answer questions.
Well, face music,
this.
And as Scott said there, the importance is that's an MLB rule. That's not a Mariners rule. They want him here too. You know, all the commentary of we are a family and he screwed this thing up, and just like our kids are going to screw up, we're going to support them and love them.
Yeah.
MLB said, nope, you're 80 games suspended. You are nowhere to be seen. Even with surgery, yes, even with surgery, you can't be a part of it. Maybe your personnel can go see him and make sure the surgery went, you know, the way that they all wanted it to, but he cannot be a part of this thing.
Yeah, there's one other little piece of good news and one other thing I want to get to that kind of comes out of that conversation, and not just the skip bringing the gas, as the texter here says. We got a lot to get to next. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Text message. Well, the Mariners are just sailors, after all.
True.
It's true. It's a good point. Oh, we're going to answer your questions coming up here in 15 minutes. It's Brock and Salk. You know, we can't do it. I had a good idea, but it's unfair. You're not allowed to do contests that way. But I was going to say, since the people on the stream always are at a disadvantage on contests, maybe we could ask a stream-only question, Kyle. Are we allowed to do that? I don't think we are.
I don't
right?
think so, no.
It's too
MLB
bad.
AM rules.
I know. Well, we could have asked a question. It's just that only the stream people would have known exactly what Scott said, but I don't think that's fair. So we won't go there. But we do have some tickets to give away. We've got tickets to... the Felix Hernandez Infield Grass Bobblehead Night. It's this Saturday, May 19th. First 20,000 fans inside will pick up a Felix Hernandez bobblehead and seed to grow their own grass in the bobblehead. The grounds crew, however, is not included. You have to provide that yourself. Let's give that away right now, Kyle, to the seventh caller.
Yes.
Seventh caller, seven for the seven nice innings, scoreless innings pitched by Christian Bergman yesterday. How's that?
I love that.
Seventh caller at 206-421-3776 will win the two tickets to Felix Hernandez Infield Grass Bobblehead Night on Saturday. Answer the questions. Your questions can come in right now at 710-710, powered by Coors Light. What else do you like from Scott?
Yeah, well, I love the story at the end. Anytime you get behind-the-scenes stories at the end, and I love that story of Nelson Cruz walking into the clubhouse yesterday with no boot. Right, no Ben Roethlisberger size 17 shoe, none of that. He walked in with just his normal shoes on and said, Skip, you better wait on the lineup tomorrow. Obviously, he was going to be out for yesterday's afternoon game, but you better wait as long as you can on that lineup card, and don't you dare write me out of the lineup. Okay, and it stands in stark contrast to a story I wanted to get to today that I think is fascinating, and we're seeing a little bit more of this in professional sports. We saw it with Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio, and this is Miguel Cabrera. And this story out yesterday, and I'll quote Miguel Cabrera, you know, a good friend of Felix's and a number of the guys in the big leagues. And he says, quote, "I went through the injury stuff last year, and I don't want to do the same thing," he said, "of rushing back from injury. Nobody appreciates you when you play hurt. So I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to play when I'm good. I played hurt a lot of years here in Detroit. They don't appreciate that. When you're doing bad, they crush you. They crush you. They say you're bad. You should go home. You don't deserve anything. You're old." I say, okay, then I'm done playing hurt. Now I'm going to take my time. And take those words and then listen to the words of Scott Servais with a Nelson Cruz, who says, hey, Skip, I'm going to be hurt. But I'm not injured.
Yeah.
And you better not write me out of the lineup come Thursday.
Let me make two comments here. One in support of Miguel Cabrera and one the opposite of that, against what he had to say. And I'll start with the one that's against, because I look, at the end of the day, I don't think that's something you need to be saying publicly. I don't think there's a lot of upside there. Yeah, maybe the media crushes you, but that's not who you're doing it for.
That's exactly
you're doing it for your teammates.
Exactly.
You're doing it for the brotherhood. You're doing it for the guys in that clubhouse. You're doing it for everybody that you're going out and you know, for lack of a better word, doing battle with. I know it's not real battle, but who you go out with together. You're a team. You're a brotherhood. You're a family together. Mm-hmm. And for you to say, well, it doesn't work well for me,
right?
That's not the way teams are meant to be built, and teams like that don't win. And so I, if I'm a manager, if I'm a teammate, I think I'm out on that. I don't like to hear that at all. However, I will also speak in favor of one thing, which is if you're in his position, you're in Detroit, you've been there for a long time, and that team is not trying to win right now.
Yep.
And you expect they are punting on this season.
That's
the Tigers
right.
are rebuilding.
Yep.
Now, some of the reason why is that they spent too much money on him and too much money on Verlander and a few of the other older guys in their team, but they've punted. They're not trying to win. They're trying to rebuild.
Yep.
And if you're him, you're saying, wait, let me just get this straight. You're not trying to win.
Correct.
And yet you want me to put myself in jeopardy and play through injury? No, thank you.
Correct.
And I think that there's some validity there. So I'm,
sure.
I don't think this is a 100-0 type of situation
yes.
because if he was playing for a contender, I'll bet your bottom dollar Miguel Cabrera would be out there playing through injury and doing his best to help his brothers to help
question.
The team win. But when
and
the team's not trying
past.
To win, why should I?
That's right. And he's done so in years past. He did so and played through some herniated discs. And he's talking, you know, absolutely, 100%. So there's some of your, you know, dangerous consequences of tanking. I'll just tank, go bad, rebuild this thing, tear it up. Okay, well, here's what you're going to have to deal with. Not only difficult baseball, but the guys that you do like, the guys that are signed, like a Miguel Cabrera, who, by the way, is signed to 2024.
Yeah.
To 2024, to the age of 41, you're going to have to deal with that kind of guarantee.
Yeah, but if you're tanking, what do you care? All right, so things are going bad. So yeah. what? Let's let them go worse. What do we care? They're all just going to help us lose games.
Yeah, I would just say to Miguel.
Hope they lose all four this weekend.
I would say to Miguel Cabrera, you're listening to the wrong noise, my friend. That I would think in that dugout and when push comes to shove, it's not about the sports radio in Detroit, all right? It's about the 24 other guys in that clubhouse and your Skip and your manager who's also thrown in the same spot you are. You're not any different than any of the rest of us, right? And some of these young guys that aren't quite ready, they're getting the opportunity of a lifetime.
Mm.
And they need you in the middle of that lineup. And that manager's job's on the line and the GM and everybody else. And, you know, you're not in it alone. Even though it may feel that way, and certainly you're taking a brunt of the criticism.
Yep.
Welcome to a contract guaranteed through 2024 and paying you hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, it's hard, though. I mean, I guess I'm just saying there's a caveat to this one. This is not just anybody, any random person taking that stance. There is something to the fact that he's been in competition his whole career, and now his team is
trying. Yeah, and a track record of being a pretty tough guy.
Right, and the team is saying, we're not interested in winning right now. We're not trying. We're not putting pieces around you that are trying to win. We're trying to go young. We're trying to get better one day in the future. So, good luck. And he's like, great. Well, if you're playing for the long haul, why don't I play for the long haul?
Yes.
Right?
You've given him that excuse. But I think you know the way you're wired. If you're in that situation.
I'm not saying I would do it.
You're not tapping.
I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that this is not a 100-0 argument. Mm-hmm. That there is something to it that's like, look, if you're all in to win, I'm all in to win. But if you're telling me that you're playing the long game instead of the short one, maybe I should play the long game.
Well, you know what I would
heal
say to
myself
you, Miggy?
For a couple of weeks, you know, and then I'll come back and I'll be even better.
Well, you know what I would say to you, bro? This is what happens when you get paid through 2024. All right? You're the one who signed the contract, one of the hundreds of millions of dollars.
Is he not supposed to sign that?
No, he absolutely is supposed to sign it. But are you also supposed to think that you're going to be on the gravy train on a winning team year after year
no,
after
but
year
I think
after
it,
year
it,
after
it,
year?
From a player perspective, I want the team to try to be winning.
Okay, do you want to win again?
Then
we're going to do the Mike Salk way. Okay, and we're going to tear it down. This
Great.
Is how we're going to do it.
And I'm going to do the same thing as a player. While you're tearing
it
down.
I'm going to shut it down?
Yeah. I'm going to make sure I'm healthy before I play.
All right.
I mean, to me, there's a really simple metaphor there. They're very analogous, don't you think?
I think
What's
they are.
The best way for me to be 100% healthy as soon as possible? Shut it down for a little bit.
In baseball, that's not what Ryan Roland Smith says, where everybody's hurt every single day.
I'm sure they all are, but
they all got bumps and they bruises.
But if I'm trying to
great.
Heal and I'm trying to be the best I can be, I'll wait a month. I'll see you in a month and I'll be even better.
Well, Nelson Cruz isn't doing that.
I'm not saying he is. And Brock, I'm not saying he should. But if Nelson Cruz's team wasn't trying to win, I would have a lot more sympathy for him saying, great, I'm just doing what you're doing.
The trouble when you rebuild like this and you shut it down is when you have to come back and you have to be a team and you have to be competitive.
That's right. But his team
doesn't
have to
right
now. Is
that guy
going to
be a part
right
of it and that's have right. that in his background saying, mm-hmm. well, this guy shut it down and now we're going to give him a praise to be a part of this whole thing where we're all rebuilding it back together?
But they may not. They may not want him to be around at that point. And in the meantime, they're trying to lose games.
And what impact
so
does
what
he
they
have
care?
On the players around him that are learning how to play the game in front of this guy?
The hardest part for this is you're letting the outside environmental noise affect you. This isn't that's the part that gets me more than anything. Tune that out. You are a pro. And the only people you should really be concerned about, Mike, are the people in this clubhouse. And you're letting sports talk, you're letting media members, you're letting outside chatter. And I know, and it is hard. And all of that outside chatter affects your friends and your family. And while you may tune it out, your wife may not be able to, or your dad or your brother, or your family members, or your kids when they go to school. And I've talked to lots of guys, and John Kitten about this in particular, in that city where his kids get mocked going to school. And how much fun is that? You know, to hear all of that noise. Yeah, I can do it on my own. I can cover my own deal. But now when I've got my own kids and family members, as I'm sure he does in that community, not easy to do.
I'm sure it's not. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say that I would handle my business the way Miguel Cabrera is right now.
You wouldn't shut it down.
I would like to think I would try to play
for
through it.
For me and Howdy and Kyle, you wouldn't shut it down.
And that's what baseball players do. They try to play through it. But I think there is an argument here, and it points to the larger situation to try to make it a bigger conversation than just, should you shut it down or not? Well, no, of course you shouldn't. But what if your team has shut it down? I'm supposed to sit here and play hard while you're not. I'm supposed to try to win every day while you're not. I'm supposed to play for the short term, not the long term, while you're playing for the long term and not the short. Why?
Are you looking out for your own self-interest? Or are you looking out for your teammates' interests? Right?
Well, whose interest are they looking out for?
I think we walked through some of this in Seattle over the last football season at times, didn't we? Are you looking out for your own? Or are you looking out for the team?
But that's a team that's competing and trying to win.
Yep.
This is a team that's not competing and not trying to win on a year-to-year basis
right
now.
What a beautiful I told you this was a good conversation.
No, you're right. But it's made a whole lot more interesting because of that element. Yep. All right. Good stuff. Mariners will play tonight. We'll see whether Nelson Cruz can get into the lineup. Four-game weekend series with the Tigers, 7:10 start. 6 o'clock pregame show here on 7:10 ESPN Seattle. D. Gordon will play second base. You heard it from the skipper. At some point during the series, probably not going to be today, but my guess would be tomorrow and then Saturday at the latest, but I'll be willing to bet he'll be in there tomorrow.
I think so. Well, he's a transparent, you know, Skip's a transparent guy. He's honest. He's never going to.
And I'm sorry to all you guys on the app. We got to figure something out for you guys. You're listening on the 710 Sports app. We appreciate it. It's driven by your local Puget Sound Acura dealers. Let's answer your questions. We'll do it next. 710-710. You text us on any subject and then we'll answer it. It's next on Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's answer your question, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light, you text us, we answer it. Very simple. Very simple process. Jerks. I'm in Salt Lake City for work. I think it's one of the most underrated cities I've been to. What is your top underrated city? Brock, you travel a ton for work.
Yeah, I have a few. I have three. I'll give you three underrated cities.
Okay.
Mobile, Alabama.
Okay. What's underrated about it?
The food.
Okay.
The beauty. It's on the water. It's a poor man's New Orleans.
Okay.
Knoxville, Tennessee is an amazing college town with unbelievable food and great people.
You love Knoxville.
I love Knoxville, Tennessee. And then a place you visited last year, Minneapolis. Clean. The biggest city that is just clean. It's got good food, got great sports.
I've been there in the
people.
Winter, though. I can't attest to how bad that is.
I mean, I've been there in November. It was cold.
No, but like December, January, February?
Sure.
Like when the Seahawks were playing at 15
it looked
below.
So awful.
But those would be three of my underrated
cities. Mine would be definitely Charleston, South Carolina.
Ooh, I've got to go there. Yeah.
Charleston, South Carolina is one of the coolest cities I've ever been.
I don't know how underrated that is. Most people tell you that have been there.
And then Pittsburgh would be the other.
Really?
Pittsburgh's a great little city. Pittsburgh gets lumped in with Cleveland and Buffalo, and it's not like that at all. It's beautiful. It's got cool stuff
to do.
That's true. I like Pittsburgh. Similar question. Jerks, what city has the most memorable food? That's definitely Charleston for me. Charleston's food's insane. Yeah, New Orleans, great.
Yeah, that's you get down south. It's just the cream, the lard, the breadcrumbs, the oil, the deep fried. It's just, yeah.
Well, you can get great food in Vegas. Great food. I mean, get great food anywhere. If you look enough, you can get great food pretty much anywhere, don't you think?
Yeah, but the stuff in the south just sticks with you.
Yeah.
In every way.
There's a weird food question. Have you ever made a fruit pizza? If so, what fruits do you use?
Oh, absolutely. Fruit pizza's a hit.
So what's a fruit pizza?
It's like a large sugar cookie. That's the dough.
Oh.
And then it's like some vanilla frosting on it with the fruit. It sometimes looks like an American flag with raspberries, strawberries,
isn't that just a
blueberries.
Pie?
No, it's fruit pizza, Mike.
Isn't that just a pie or like a, what do you call it, like a tart or something?
It's just a different kind of crust. Because you have to have actual pizza crust.
Oh, no, Kyle said, that's not what Kyle said.
That's
Kyle said
not cookie that I've crust. Ever had, but that's different kinds of fruit pizza.
I've honestly never heard of that. No. The only fruit I've ever thought about on a pizza is like Hawaiian pizza with a pineapple.
Yeah, I had fruit on a sugar cookie.
Oh, never thought about that. Sounds good.
That sounds okay.
Count me in.
That'd be good.
Another way to
Next
eat dessert.
Question.
You eat that for dessert, right? Not for...
Yeah, that, I mean, that's...
Check.
That's an entree.
Three or four meals.
I got another food question. All food questions coming in from people today.
Good.
Which is better, the very middle perfect bite of a perfectly built burger or the best bite of a perfectly cooked steak?
Steak.
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 Come on.
Next question.
What are we talking about here?
So, you know, as you know.
Howdy, why you got to be so elitist and go with steak?
Had it like five or six times, so.
I have.
Shut up.
I think appropriately hyped up Miners.
Liar.
To the point it was trending the other night.
Trending where?
Everywhere. but as much as I've hyped it, you have to like, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this, on your burger, do you like a lot of stuff? Do you like the lettuce, tomato, onion, pickle, man? Like, it's certainly the beef is super well seasoned. It's good. It's like, it's still there.
I don't
there.
Like a lot of lettuce.
It's still present.
I don't want a lot of lettuce.
But you've got to like your stuff on top of it.
I like tomato and all that. I just don't want lettuce.
And then the mayonnaise and the cheese.
I want that too.
All of it.
That's fantastic. So
true or false, Monday in Suncadia, that I legitimately thought, is it worth the hour drive? It's an hour Suncadia to Yakima. Is it legitimately worth the hour drive?
Why didn't you go into the nice Safeway there in Cleon?
Dude, that thing's been fixed up.
It has?
Yes.
Is that woman still there?
No.
That's too bad.
God.
Next
question. You guys got rid of her.
No, she managed to get rid of herself, I would say.
Where did she go?
The poor lady, like, cut her finger off, didn't
no.
she? And you guys
no.
sat
no,
there
really
and laughed.
Didn't.
Stumbled, fumbled, bumbled in the back.
And then pretended to be injured.
Excuses.
Uh-huh. She made them.
Next question.
Good morning, Brock and Salk Show. I love the show. Were any of you guys able to catch the Mariner game on Facebook yesterday? If so, what did you think? I'll have to ask you guys because I was at the game.
I did not.
What did you guys watch?
I didn't care for it very much. It wasn't that bad. It was kind of aggravating. It was jittery on my computer, so I had to move to my phone. And then I couldn't figure out how to get rid of the comments and emojis, which I finally did get rid of.
Because
and then
Elise,
the only problem
right.
was that, Colby Lewis, is that his name?
Yeah.
He was so dreadfully awful that I actually felt bad for him.
Oh, that's so bad.
Okay.
He was unlistenably bad.
Really?
Did you hear Wyman started their show yesterday? Danny David Moore in the afternoon show with Wyman? How do you think that went for Wyman on Facebook?
I can't. How did he find it?
Well, his wife's account, so.
Right, he didn't know how to watch
yes,
it.
He was not a
He must have been so annoyed about
so
that.
So mad.
I just think that
so
until they are perfect with that technology, you should have an option on television.
Yeah, I was really bummed.
When the technology is perfect, fine. But if the technology is not perfect, you know, you got to, well, whatever.
Yep.
Next question.
I'm glad it was on the radio. You can always catch the games here, 710 ESPN
sure,
Seattle. Let's see what else I have here. Is Vegas going to win the Stanley Cup? Man, they might, man. I was watching again last night. That team is good. And I don't want them to win the Stanley Cup. I know it's kind of fun to root for them because they're a fun team and they play a good, heavy game. But I don't want to. That's going to become the norm. Like, oh, you're an expansion team. Go ahead and win right off the bat. That doesn't feel right to me. So I like that they're good. I don't want them to win.
What do you mean by heavy?
They play a good, physical, heavy game. You watch them play, they knock a lot of people down.
Is that a
down.
Hockey term?
Yeah.
You hear that, huh?
They knock a lot of people down, I guess. Like a heavy ball in like a cement mixer.
Yeah, like the James Pazos.
Yeah.
It's a heavy ball.
Yep.
Right. Next question.
Let's see.
Next question.
Jerks, I'm already late. Do you think I should stop and get a coffee?
It depends on how late you are.
And it depends on who you, like, are you picking it up for the person you're late to see?
I mean, damage is done.
Right.
Why not?
Pick some up for the person you're going to see at work.
Yeah, I think that's a good move.
If you're 5 to 10 minutes late, don't do it. If you're an hour late, get some coffee.
Yeah, you might as well. Hour and 10 minutes, what's the difference? Oh, we gotta go.
It's been a fun week.
It's not over yet, though, right? We have another day.
No, we
got today Thursday or Friday?
I know.
What
it feels
Thursday?
Like Friday.
It does feel like Friday.
We got to finish strong tomorrow, though.
I don't want to. Let's not. Let's not finish strong. Let's have a terrible end of the week.
You want to just make an excuse?
Yeah.
Tap out tomorrow?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's not my fake ID. That's my friend's brother's.
Kyle,
I'm just bringing it back to him.
I'd listen to Kyle and Howdy for 3 hours. You guys just want to do the show tomorrow and tap out?
What, are you trying to get the day off?
No.
I mean,
give you the opportunity of a lifetime.
It would just be nice to you guys.
Play the opportunity card.
All right, we got to run. We will catch you guys tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Until then, the hay.
Unless we don't. Barn.
See everybody.
Get to the chopper!